Love or Leave It is brought to you by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The First Amendment protects all of our rights to practice whatever faith we have, or the right to not have any faith at all. And yet what we see is a lot of politicians trying to impose their worldview and their religion on everybody. That includes in the public schools. We've seen that in Louisiana with a law around school chaplains and putting Ten Commandments in the classroom that's currently held up in court, though we have no idea what the Supreme Court will do. And so if you believe that people should be free to practice whatever religion they want without the government impinging on it, or free to not practice any religion at all, that's where the Freedom From Religion Foundation comes in to help do what a lot of lawmakers aren't, defending the First Amendment. They sue, they win, and they're making sure kids can focus on science class and that public schools aren't turned into religious Sunday schools. Go to ffrf.us/school or text love it. That's LOVETT to 511-511. Visit FFRF at ffrf.us/school or text LOVETT to 511-511. Because if I'm going to live by the Ten Commandments, I'm going to do it on private property, not government property. That's where I do all my coveting, John.
Mm.
That's where I do all my...
that's where you break all your other commandments?
Yeah, that's where I take the Lord's name in vain the most.
Mm.
Remember, text love it to 511-511. Or go to ffrf.us/school or text LOVETT to 511-511 today. What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Dynasty Typewriter. We have got a great show for you tonight. Michaela Watkins is here. Colton Dunn is here. And they'll both ask two important questions. Was I in this? And was it worth it? Then we'll all head to the wheel to pay tribute to some of our favorite stars of yore.
Hmm.
But first, let's get into it. What a week. Woo! On Tuesday, Donald Trump and his legal wife, Melania Trump, went across the pond to the world's second most famous island of pedophiles, Great Britain. The First Lady and Worst Man met with King Charles and Queen Camilla of Windsor, where Melania debuted a brand new look. For those at home, she's wearing a big purple hat that often obscured her face completely, on loan from the Queen's private Spirit Halloween collection. It's obviously a joke. It's from Eileen Fisher's new collab with David Cronenberg. While at Windsor, Trump shared some poignant remarks at a state dinner.
I believe we're the hottest country anywhere in the world. In fact, nobody's even questioning it, but we owe so much of that to you and the footing that you gave us when we started.
King Charles spit out soup when he heard that. And he wasn't even having soup. That's just what's in British people's mouths. Trump also took the opportunity to celebrate some of the UK's best.
Shakespeare and Dickens and Tolkien, Lewis, Orwell, and Kipling. Incredible people. Unbelievable people like we have rarely seen before, probably won't see again.
I'll defend him when he's right, but would he do the same for me? And I know I'll get shit for this, but I'll say it. Tolkien in the same league as Shakespeare and Orwell? Oh, sure, you fucking dweebs. Oh, really? Oh, really? You think that's right? You think that's right? Shakespeare painted with the English language in ways previously unimaginable. Orwell, with rigor and clarity, helping us to understand the tools by which we obliterate our own humanity. And then you have Tolkien, who taught us that the little ones have hair on their feet and eat a lot of sandwiches, but in a language he made up. Deal with it. Cancel me, Brendan Carr. I hate the Lord of the Rings. Fucking dog shit. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The ring makes you invisible, but it also does other stuff. The little ones are sweet. The tall ones are kind of mean. Which are the Jews in Lord of the Rings? Rudyard Kipling was perfect, though. No notes.
He was racist. He was... read some really racist stuff. You know, and the original text of the Jungle Book is not so sweet.
It wasn't just the... <I don't... laughs> It wasn't just the pomp and circumstance Trump enjoyed about monarchy, for back at home, his administration began to lay out how, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's gruesome murder, the government would begin a wider crackdown on dissent. Here was Stephen Miller earlier this week.
With God as my witness, we are going to use every resource we have at the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, and throughout this government to identify, disrupt, dismantle, and destroy these networks and make America safe again for the American people. It will happen, and we will do it in Charlie's name.
As of this recording, we have seen no evidence to suggest that Kirk's murderer wasn't acting alone. According to the transcript released as part of the investigation, he may have been motivated by his love for a trans person, which fills me with an incredible amount of rage, because whatever we learn in the coming days, this guy was too demented or stupid to appreciate the consequences of his actions, which orphaned two children and fueled a crackdown while making life worse for every trans person in America, not least of whom is the person he was texting and claiming to love, who, according to Utah's Republican governor, had no idea what Robinson was planning and has been cooperating fully. And I'll say here, as we learn more, we should not be the least bit reluctant to confront the truth of this killer's motivations. If the shooter wanted to kill Charlie Kirk for being right-wing or holding anti-trans views, then we should be as appalled and unabashed in acknowledging that as when political violence targets the left. We've seen voice, yes, because we've seen voices on the right smear half the country for this killing, claiming that this was a war of the left, but that is false. And to do anything other than scream from the rooftops that this person does not speak for us is to act just a little bit like you've internalized the right's logic. J.D. Vance went further in that conversation with Stephen Miller.
So when you see someone celebrating Charlie's murder, call them out. In hell, call their employer.
But J.D., there are thousands of people making gross jokes on the internet all the time. There are too many. How can we make a difference? Ah, said Vance, picking up a starfish and getting it fired from its job as a community college administrator. It made a difference to this one. The number of people who understood that analogy and that story was not as many in the meeting as I wanted it to be. How many people know the starfish thing? That's so interesting. Wait, how many people know it like it's the back of your hand, feel like you've heard it a million times? And how you've never heard that before in your life? Wow. So there's a mother and daughter walking down the shore, and the mother and the daughter starts looking around like, all these starfish are going to die. What are we going to do? We can't help them all. And the mother picks one up and throws it in the ocean and says, it made a difference to that one. Huh? Right? Anyway. Attorney General Pam Bondi promised to do more than just get you fired for offensive comments on Katie Miller's podcast earlier this week.
There's free speech and then there's hate speech. And there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society. We will absolutely target you, go after you, if you are targeting anyone with hate speech.
Are you a black square on Instagram in June of 2020? Because I think you're caught up in the moment and not really helping anybody. Sure. Pam Bondi also said this to Fox News.
And employers, you have an obligation to get rid of people. You need to look at people who are saying horrible things. And they shouldn't be working with you. Businesses cannot discriminate. If you want to go in and print posters with Charlie's pictures on them for a vigil, you have to let them do that. We can prosecute you for that.
No, you can't. You have to print posters? What's next? Demanding a baker bake a cake with Charlie's picture on it? Demanding a baker bake a cake for your special event honoring Charlie Kirk? And then the baker objects because he's gay, but also way more extreme than Charlie Kirk ever was? Forcing this paranoid, anti-Semitic gay baker to bake a cake that doesn't agree with his politics? And there are these starfish all over the place? Bondi actually faced enough blowback for her comments from the right that she walked it back, restricting her view to hate speech that contains threats. But King Baby wasn't so troubled.
And what do you think Pam Bondi is saying she's going to go after hate speech? A lot of your allies say hate speech is free speech.
She'll probably go after people like you because you treat me so unfairly. It's hate. You have a lot of hate in your heart. Maybe they'll come after ABC. Well, ABC paid me $16 million recently for a form of hate speech, right? Your company paid me $16 million for a form of hate speech. So maybe they'll have to go after you.
Please no, take this instead, said Disney's panic lawyers, pushing a confused George Stephanopoulos out of a Suburban. but cooler heads soon prevailed, like Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt.
There can be no unity between good and evil. Somebody has to win this thing. And as a country, we have to absolutely reject it. And don't tell me it's both sides. This system lurks behind every radical leftist movement in our nation today. The George Soros empire has financed a vast ecosystem of radicals.
Yet here I am every week, unequivocally denouncing political violence and trying to find new and funny ways to describe Trump's hands for a pretty good audience of liberals who can barely organize the totes piling up in their closets, let alone a vast radical empire. We have never, none of us, ever, ever, needed more than two totes. Ever. I cannot think of an occasion in my life where any of us have ever needed more than two totes. Because if you ever need three totes, you go to Duffel and Tote. You never need more than two totes. And yet, to get rid of a tote is unthinkable. And then it was Jimmy Kimmel's turn in the barrel. After the Kirk murder, Kimmel said this.
We're like the rest of the country. We're still trying to wrap our heads around the senseless murder of the popular podcaster and conservative activist Charlie Kirk yesterday, whose death has amplified our anger, our differences. And I've seen a lot of extraordinarily vile responses to this from both sides of the political spectrum. Some people are cheering this, which is something I won't ever understand.
You get a job on a game show as the goofy everyman to make Ben Stein seem even weirder. Next thing you know, you're trying to deftly handle a political assassination on your late night comedy program. But he did it. But then, on Monday, he said this.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
Because there was evidence by Monday that the killer, while growing up in a Republican home, was not MAGA, conservatives, already hostile toward Kimmel, let rip. On Wednesday, FCC chair and guy who would definitely shut down the containment grid and then blame the Ghostbusters for the consequences, Brendan Carr, issued an ultimatum.
But frankly, when you see stuff like this, I mean, look, we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
We can do this the easy way or the hard way. As a rule, if you are a federal regulator and you sound like Judge Doom holding a terrified shoe over a barrel of dip, you are not the hero in this story. And by the way, lest there be any doubt, Carr didn't leave it at that ominous but vague warning that he was using the leverage over licensing to threaten a specific show and a specific disfavored comedian. Here's what he said next.
These companies can find ways to change conduct, to take action, frankly, on Kimmel. Or, you know, there's going to be additional work for the FCC ahead.
And he described what that work was, because it included the possibility of fines or license revocation. Within hours, ABC announced that Jimmy Kimmel Live would be preempted indefinitely, suspending the show after Nexstar, owner of 28 ABC affiliates, said it wouldn't air Kimmel. It is with a heavy heart that I say, Jimmy Kimmel, welcome to podcasting. In a statement, Nexstar criticized Kimmel's comments and promised to replace the show with other programming in its ABC-affiliated markets. Worth noting, Nexstar is currently pursuing a merger that requires approval by the FCC. Once they acquire their largest rival, Tegna, it will own 265 stations in 44 states, which reaches 80% of American households. Look, sometimes a bad thing has to be done in the service of an even worse thing. Anyway, I'm looking forward to a whole bunch of Republican-friendly comedies on ABC with new shows like The Big Bang Theory is Wrong. Maude Keeps the Baby. Fresh Off and Right Back on the Boat. Abbott Charter Elementary. Mork and Mindy and Ice. Perfect Strangers and Ice. And Roseanne. Plus, stay tuned for ABC's upcoming miniseries, Roots 2, Not So Bad. And hey, Brendan Carr, if it's cinema you're after, Disney has got you covered with live-action Mulan, but she's a girl the whole time and leaves the fighting to the men, starring Sydney Sweeney. Luca 2, Luca reels in a wife. Bambi from the hunter's point of view.
And I'm excited for this one, White and Kanto. Trump wrote about it on Truth Social, saying, "Great news for America. The ratings challenge Jimmy Kimmel show is canceled. Congratulations to ABC for finally having the courage to do what had to be done. Kimmel had zero talent and worse ratings than even Colbert, if that's even possible. That leaves Jimmy and Seth, two total losers, on fake news NBC. Their ratings are also horrible. Do it, NBC. Do it." Like he's trying to get Don LaLangley to chug a beer. And then on the plane, he suggested to reporters that these companies lose their license for being, in his words, 97% against him. This is a classic in the genre of Trump, which is a bunch of these intellectual Zambonis, conservatives who try to figure out a way to defend Trump's actions, spent the day explaining that this was really about Kimmel's inaccuracy. And how it was actually a business decision, and that while Carr's comments may have been in some way unwise or unhelpful, it was not a violation of the First Amendment because it was a decision by the affiliates. And then Trump is like, two down, two to go, bitches. They're all against me. Fuck them up, NBC. Sinclair Broadcasting Group also pulled Kimmel from their ABC stations. They demanded Kimmel apologize. They demanded he donate to Kirk's nonprofit, Turning Point USA, and announced that a Charlie Kirk in memoriam special will air during Kimmel's time slot on Friday. Wow. A special tribute on every station? They'll probably do this for me when I go, said Joe Biden. No one having the heart to tell him that they might not even break into commercial. And finally this week, a mom of two set a Guinness World Record for longest barefoot run on Lego bricks. When reached for comment, the woman said, "Ow, my feet!" That's it. It's a dark week of news. You want a serious close? That's it. Branding on the fucking Lego joke. Deal with it. Coming up next, it's Michaela Watkins and Colton Dunn.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by IndieCloud. You made it through work traffic in the group chat that just won't quit. IndieCloud is how you make the rest of the night yours again. IndieCloud makes federally legal THC gummies, exotic flower, pre-rolls, and vapes built for that sweet spot between I'm done and I'm actually fine. Well, I'm excited to try IndieCloud. All their products are Farm Bill compliant. And you know, over here at Crooked,
we're sticklers for the Farm Bill.
We love that Farm Bill. Mm-hmm. 100% federally legal, third-party tested and shipped discreetly. No sketchy dispensary runs in traffic, no mystery ingredients. Just 50,000-plus happy customers who like their relaxation legal, simple, and delivered. Looking for better sleep? They've got a gummy for that. Want a light social buzz without tipping into chaos? Easy. Need something with a little more kick? That's where the Beast Mode collection comes in. Potent enough to impress seasoned pros, still legal and predictable. Whatever your vibe, quiet porch nights, book in hand, afternoons, or a weekend hang with friends, IndieCloud's got a match that's tested, trusted, and delivered right to your door. Whether you want better focus for that September reset, deeper sleep as the days get shorter, or just a peaceful scroll before bed, this is how grown-ups take the edge off now. If you're 21 or older, go to IndieCloud.co, use code LOVEIT for 25% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's IndieCloud.co, code LOVEIT, LOVEITT, for 25% off, free shipping, and a better mood showing up right to your door. Take their quick survey when you order to support this show, and thank IndieCloud for making September feel a little lighter. As always, please enjoy responsibly. Huge thanks to IndieCloud for sponsoring today's episode.
And we're back. Please welcome to the stage two people I'd like to see in a steamy Netflix drama about bisexual Texas socialites. It's Michaela Watkins and Colton Dunn. Hi, welcome. Good to see you. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hi. Thank you both for being here. Boy, it's lovely to see you.
That's great to see you.
Michaela.
Yes.
You confessed to me that you like the show Hunting Wives.
Okay. You know what? That was said in confidence. No, like is an interesting word.
What's it? What is it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's complicated. I have a complicated relationship with this show, but what I have to say about this show is this show got me thinking a lot about the show because everything else I don't want to think about. And so I realized I need to defend this show. And not because I like it, but because I think it's worthy of defense.
Interesting. So it's more of an intellectual exercise.
Yes.
But yep. You watch every episode.
I sure did. It's been the butt of a lot of jokes.
Because it stars women.
It stars women, and you know, and they talk about the wigs, and they, you know, it's women, it's MAGA women, having sex with each other. And it's, oh, now you're interested.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what these freaks
before
are,
you were like,
that's
wow.
What
these,
by the way, wow. That's what these freaks are putting in their Pornhub searches.
Exactly.
Girl
exactly.
On girl MAGA. Girl on girl.
Yeah, that's right. They're not laughing because
it's true.
I nailed it.
But anyway, so it stars Malin Ackerman, who is a wonderful, wonderful human being, a great actress, a huge talent, and just generally a light. You know, when you see somebody and you're like, oh, I feel better. Everything's going to be fine. That's how it is to be around people from Sweden. Truly. And so I'm watching this and I'm like, Malin, kind of, you know, like in the best way, what were you thinking? And what I realized with each actress that was coming on, the show, okay, let's be honest, and I can say this to Malin, the show is trashy. It's trash. It's brain candy. It's like what reality shows wish they were.
This is you defending the show.
Yeah, 100%. Because if I don't tell you the truth, you're going to not believe me later when I say the important thing, which is...
A lesson for Democrats that we're living in the wreckage of. Yep.
Which is that these actors have been done real dirty by their networks because, you know, the acting climate right now is pretty... It's chilly. It's brisk. There's just not a ton of work right now. And so it took, like, this show that was meant to be on Starz Network, that, raise your hand if you have a Starz subscription. Nobody. Not one. So it was meant to go there. They go on that show. They get paid a nice sum. They go to Georgia. They shoot this thing. They take their clothes off. They put a lot of bronzer on. And then they tell their agents, is this going to ruin my brand? I don't know if this is true. I've never discussed this with Malin, but this is when I say I think about it a lot. This is what I'm thinking about. They say, oh, just do this job. Because honestly, in this climate, if you don't have Starz, you're never going to see it. A lot of people, like, you know who I use as my, as sort of my beacon of like, should I do this? I always go back to... Oh, what's her name? Okay. She's she was on West Wing. She's tall.
Allison Janney.
Thank
Mom.
You. Yeah. I always, Allison Janney is like the career that I want. She doesn't say no to anything. And and you only remember the great stuff that she's done. And she's done a lot of like really cruddy things. Not in life and shows. And so I think like, okay, we're now in that time where you can do something stupid, nobody's going to see it, and you're fine, and then you can go back and do your Oscar stuff. So I think they got these actors, they put it on Starz. Starz, at the very last minute, says, we're not going to air this. So Netflix picks it up, and it becomes the number one watched show. So now they're in bronzer in Georgia. You
That's
know.
Their brand now.
Yeah.
I don't
is.
Know that I've ever met an actor who's like, God, I wish this wasn't the number one show. It would be a first. It's exciting. I mean, maybe they wish they hadn't showed, you know, Tatas, but whatever. Number one with Tatas is better than number 30, no
and
Tatas.
Listen, yeah. they've got number one Tatas.
Number one Tatas.
They are great. They are beautiful women and they're great actors. So I start watching this thing, you know, to support Malin, because I'm kind of curious because there's a lot of chatter about it and because I happened to be in Atlanta for 2 weeks in a hotel room with no friends. So I start watching it and I'm like, oh boy. And then the acting, you guys, is good because they have really good actors. They have great actors. All the actresses on it are amazing. And I hope if any of them are listening to this, they stay listening to it long enough to know that they are so good. Like you, maybe you come for the tatas. Hype about it and the tatas, but you stay for the really quality acting with really questionable material.
Mm. Oh. I mean, it seems like you found a trashy show that you love and you built a cathedral of ideas to sit inside it to appreciate the show.
Is that bad?
No, it's totally fine. I've come to... So, Colton, do you have a trashy show that you watch, a kind of brain escape show?
A little brain rot?
Yeah.
Emma cruises on YouTube. It's a cruise tube show, and Emma goes on different cruises. She gives you her review. This lady named Emma. She's this British lady. And she's like, all right, I'm on another cruise today. And I'm off, you know, on another holiday. And she like kind of reviews the room and all that kind of stuff. But her big thing is whether or not they have Diet Coke on the cruise.
I love
She's a big Diet Coke fan. And here's the thing. And some of you guys, maybe some of you understand it. I didn't get it. A lot of people who watch it don't get it. She does not like fountain Diet Coke. She only wants Diet Coke from the bottle.
Oh.
Well, glass bottle, I get. I mean, there's something about...
No, it's like plastic bottle.
Dog shit. That's
dog shit.
There's an interesting thing about the fountain, because the question is, do you want to fail while daring greatly, or do you want to sit in the safety of the can? Because you know what you're going to get in the can. Fountain, on a cruise...
It's a ratio.
It's luck and happenstance.
But when you strike it right...
Oh
my God, that's so good.
Sometimes if you, maybe that salt air gets, you know, somehow chemically, you know, dances with the syrup.
Yeah.
And the soda water part.
Yeah.
And then you could have a fail, or you could have victory.
That's right.
Yeah. Taste of the ocean.
Yeah. It's like they say pizza in New York tastes better because of the water.
Exactly. That's why the fountain drinks on a boat tastes great.
Because of the water.
Because of the water.
The distilled water that sits in there.
In a giant steel tank in the bottom.
In their lines.
We all live in the blissful ignorance of what's going on inside of these soda guns. These soda guns. Like, the number of people I see that, like, wouldn't eat a cookie off the floor, mm-hmm. that are like, Diet Coke, please, and just trusting God in the end of that fucking nozzle. Are you insane?
Yeah, you're trusting the one guy who finishes the night and takes it apart and is supposed to wipe it out nice and clean.
Think about how you're supposed to take care of your coffee maker at home.
Yeah.
And that's just for you, by you. And maybe you do better than if it was your job.
Yeah.
But you don't do great.
No.
You do good enough, and you pray that it's fine. And if it starts to taste weird, you fix it.
You get
now
different
imagine
coffee.
You never drank that coffee even once, and it was the only coffee you made for strangers. You can eat the cookie off the floor.
The inversion is Guinness, right? People don't want it in the can. They want it on tap.
Oh, like, yeah.
You can get a bad batch, though. I mean, a bad nitrous amount. Guys, can we go back to Hunting Wives?
Yeah, let's get back to it. I don't know what it is.
Oh, it's
can I get a summary of what...
It's a reality show meets a soap opera.
It's a drama with reality show vibes and pacing.
It's got reality. Everybody is gorgeous. Everybody is hot. There's drama. Somebody's like, but it's all takes place in Texas.
Here's the wig
Malin
Ackerman wears at the beginning of the show.
Okay. Now,
is this the show that I saw? I saw a hairstylist on social media who was upset about production leaving California because of how bad the wigs are, and they were like, if they would have just shot the show in L.A., the wigs would all be better.
Wigs are expensive, so that's the first thing I'm going
to
say.
Let's go to wig number two.
This budget is not good, but also
goo.
So here's the thing: if you know Malin and you know what her actual hair looks like, she would never pass. She would always look like a gorgeous Swedish supermodel. But here she has to be a kind of like a Texas girl, knows how to shoot a gun and all that. And so I understand why they had to wig her. Now, do you watch like Fox News? Do you see what the hair on there looks like? Like, it does not look real. I think this is actually a wonderful rendition.
Huh. That's an interesting take. That it's meant to convey a certain inauthenticity, and it's not something well done poorly. It's something poor done well. Colton.
Yeah. You want me? You gonna show me a wig?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't do wig. I don't have a wig on. I would have, but then I got a hair transplant. And then I got two more. I'm at three.
Was it?
Wait, where else?
No, all on the head.
Oh, okay.
Or did you mean for your friends? Listen, I got one and then they gave me two free.
Look, I wanted a masculine asshole. Yeah. You know? I felt like I can't be walking around with this feminist feminine. Yeah, it's embarrassing. I wanted to be masculine.
Yes.
And so the doctor had never done it before. It's the first of its kind.
Yeah.
They've said, wow, we've gone from the asshole to the head before. But we've never gone down that way.
Oh.
Mikhail, you're in Hacks.
Yes.
Hannah Einbinder won the Emmy, and she gave a brief but attention-grabbing speech, and she stole that from you. That was your speech. Had you won? That was what happened?
Honestly, like, hats off to her, really. She said a lot of really wonderful things, but you'll never hear that because the only clip that actually got played and played and played was she said, "Go birds, fuck guys, free Palestine." And apparently, like, everybody was clutching their pearls after that. And I was like, how are we living in a world where that's the shock? Meanwhile, masked men are roving the streets of LA and everywhere else in this country and kidnapping people and shoving them in vans and breaking up families and putting them in detention camps that, you know, our elected officials are now getting arrested because they're not allowed to go inspect. Like, why is that? Like, I'm talking about, like, Hollywood colleagues, liberals, you know, who are just like, ooh, you know. And so, again, I guess I'm here to defend the ladies. I was like, yes, good. But then Homeland Security actually put out a statement about it because nothing makes them more upset than millennials winning a prize for a comedy on HBO. And they said something like, what she said was ugly. It's ugly. Be a lady. And then said something like, when violence against ICE officials is up 1,000%, she is, you know, that this little redhead on stage is like inciting violence against this marginal group of ICE officials who are so marginalized that really they are the only ones who should be able to receive free college. That's really it, because they're so living on the fringes of our society. And I just was like, the way, the gymnastics of twisting that, like, and they do it consistently. They keep stealing really sensible responses to the horrible, evil things that happen in the world and then adapting them and adopting them for themselves, as you know. And just saying, like, you know, anti-Semitism is way up, you know, Islamophobia is way up. Like, now we're just like, oh gosh, but let's hold space for the ICE officials, you know, as if they didn't have a choice.
Yeah. I mean, the it's trolling, you know, the it's the same as with Brendan Carr. Like, it's a culture of trolling. Right. And now they troll with power. They use their power to troll too, right? Like, Trump is a troll. These people, that's what he's doing when he tells ABC News, to Jonathan Carr, like, you have hate in your heart, maybe I'll come after you. He's trolling. But they also back it up with, like, the force of the state now.
Yeah.
Which is why you can't be scared about it. Which is why that's how they win. They win by getting all the people to clutch their pearls. This lady says, free Palestine. There's nothing wrong with saying that. If you're out there and you're worried about people from Palestine and you want them to be free, you want them to have a better life, there's nothing wrong with that. And they have, like, created this world where they say, oh, well, if you say that, you're anti-Semitic. No, you're not. If you say that, you're a bad person. No, you're not. And you just have to push back 100% on that. And you can't let them scare you. You can't be quiet. You can't go, oh, well, we shouldn't say anything, because if you don't, we see what happens when you keep giving them inches.
Yeah, that's right.
But the birds, do not say go birds. I don't like birds.
I disagreed with that.
Birds are a scourge on everybody. So do not say go birds.
Those birds are racist.
Yeah, racist birds. But wait, 1 second. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Built. Nobody wants to pay rent, but if you have to, Built makes it worth it. Built is revolutionizing how millions think about paying rent by rewarding their members with points and exclusive benefits around their neighborhood every single month. By paying rent through Built, you earn flexible points that can be redeemed toward hundreds of hotels and airlines, a future rent payment, your next Lyft ride, and more. But it doesn't stop there. Built is about making your entire neighborhood more rewarding. You can dine out at your favorite local restaurants and earn additional points, get VIP treatment at certain fitness studios, and enjoy exclusive experiences just for Built members every month. Built is turning a monthly expense into an opportunity to earn rewards and discover the best that your neighborhood has to offer. Your rent is finally working for you. Earn points on rent and around your neighborhood wherever you call home by going to joinbuilt.com/loveit. That's joinbuilt.com/loveit. Make sure to use our URL so they know we sent you. All right, we're back. It's time for a classic here at Love It or Leave It.
Oh, boy.
Which is a game we call Was I In This? This week, we've got a twist. Michaela and Colton will be playing each other. Ooh. I'll be chiming in with my amusing bon mots as usual. So let's play Was I In This? Yeah.
Ooh, yay.
All right, Colton, you first. Michaela co-starred with Julia Louis-Dreyfus in three different projects: Veep, The New Adventures of Old Christine, and the underrated 2013 James Gandolfini rom-com Enough Said.
Am I trying to figure out if I was in it?
No.
Oh.
I hope not. I hope that this becomes more of a medical thing. Then we ask you to, what were you in this clock you drew? You have to say if it's true or false, Colton.
Well, I mean, two of those I know. So I'm going to say false.
Wrong. All right, Colton.
You got
no points.
No points.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
You should have...
How's
okay,
it,
is that the scoreboard right there?
No, I got it. I'm a professional.
Okay. Yeah.
Michaela, is any part of you... Oh, wait. Oh.
Yeah.
James Gandolfini.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
What was he like?
I don't know. I didn't... he was very sweet. He was very sweet. Yeah, but I only did one scene with him.
Oh. Did he have that kind of intense charisma the whole time?
Yes.
That's cool.
No, he was more like Sweetie Pie. Like, you can't believe he was a mob boss.
I got to hang out with that guy.
Yeah?
Really?
Years ago, I lived in a house right off Sunset Boulevard. It was across the street from a place called Coach and Horses, which was like a little dive bar. And he would show up there. And he would show up there really late, and the bartenders all knew him. And then they would close the bar and let him stay. And a couple of times, he was like, you could stay too. And we'd just stay and have a lot of fun with James Gandolfini in a bar on Sunset Boulevard until, like, you know, 3-4 in the morning.
That's cool. Michaela.
Yeah.
Colton received not one, but two Emmy nominations for Mad TV.
What? Fantastic.
True or false?
True.
False.
Damn it. Sorry.
He wrote for Mad TV, and you had an iconic character, Mandongo.
Oh, my God.
But he earned two Emmy nominations for his work writing for Key and Peele.
Oh.
That's true.
I was on that. Did you write for me?
What sketch were you in?
I played Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene. Oh, Mary Magdalene sketch.
Yeah.
What was like the gist?
Keegan was Jesus. I had to wash his feet.
Okay, was it about him though, being a pimp or something?
It was at his house at 2 a.m.
Were there any cameras there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There was at least one cell phone.
Okay.
sorry.
Colton, you worked for Mad TV, Kroll Show, Key and Peele, Comedy Bang Bang. That was like a golden age of sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think it'll come back?
You know, I'd like to think so. I'd like to think so that sketch comedy will make a comeback, you know, and that I think Funny or Die is in there with all that stuff, you know, kind of that early internet days. But, you know, who knows? It all seems like it's short form vertical sketches where people are in the sketches by themselves and they're just talking to each other on different angles on their cell phone. So yeah. I think that's the new sketch comedy.
Loneliness.
Just everyone by themselves.
Do you have a favorite character you've played?
Do I? Yeah, I do.
Who is it?
Well, it was a favorite show I did.
Favorite show?
Yeah. Casual.
Oh, oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Great show.
Smattering after everybody canceled their Hulu today.
I don't know what to do because it's like maybe we need to get to the boycott. I don't know what the answer is, obviously. If I did, I would tell you. But fundamentally, like there's like obviously there's many problems, but three giant problems. One, anti-democratic authoritarian takeover of our government. Two, corporate cowardice on an absolutely mind-boggling scale, just people giving the administration rights it actually couldn't take, like giving it power it couldn't seize and would never be able to win in court. But three, it is very clear that these corporations, anyone making a calculation that is not moral, but mercenary and financial and strategic, is calculating that we are not a big factor. They're calculating that the tens of millions of Americans, majority of this country that is not only pro-freedom of expression, but you know, anti-Trump, aren't powerful and may never have power again. And actually, even if we do gain power, won't make them pay for the decisions they've made to capitulate to this dangerous government. And we got to figure out a way to make clear that both Democrats in power and everyone that's part of this big democratic movement from the far left to the anti-Trump right aren't going to forget and are worthy of being afraid of. And maybe that will be through nonviolent means, through boycott and protest and electoral success and through our representatives holding people accountable for the decisions they're making right now. But a combination of short-term thinking and a lack of imagination and the correct evaluation of current Democratic leadership that we're not people to fear is part of our problem. It's a big problem. And I don't know if boycotts are the answer. I don't know how to get to the place where we are seen as a political force worthy of respect. But one way or another, we got to figure out what that is. Probably should do it quick, I think. Probably should go quick.
I think canceling your subscription is a great place to start. You know, people didn't want to do that during the strike. They asked us not to do that back in the day during the strike specifically. But, you know, after working for a lot of these streamers in shows, all they care about is how many people are subscribed to them. And that's also their motivation, is to get new subscribers. So once you take yourself out of there, their whole business model is to figure out how to get you back, to get you subscribed.
I totally agree with that. I think my thought is not, oh, boycotts don't work. That's not, what I want to make sure is, you know, this happened on the right a fair amount. All these hosts were just like, you got to boycott Nespresso. You can't use this. You can't do that. And there were all these different lists of on the left of places we're supposed to boycott. And my view on this is, if we're going to decide, I want us to like, I don't want us to cry wolf. If we're going to say, all right, this is the place we're drawing the line, we're all going to cancel Disney Plus, we're all going to cancel Hulu, it has to be both clear, serious. It has to actually have a goal, right? We can't just be like, oh, we're all not using this service forever. Maybe it's Kimmel has to come back on. Is that, I don't know what the answer is. But some measure by which we can declare success so that there's some incentive for people to actually respond to our pressure. And we, by the way, like, you know, it's an unusual thing for our side to set a strategic goal and then through collective action go about creating the incentives to make it real, rather than what we normally do, which is, you know, bicker and run around. But it's something to consider.
Yeah,
I'm going to think about that over this weekend.
I feel like that's what it's like to be married to you just now. Like, I'm like, good night, honey. You know. Should we watch Hulu? Oh, actually, I canceled it. And then you just say all of that. And then it's like,
well, when is this going to end? How long will this be canceled? Yeah. What's the point of all of this?
Yeah. And then at the end of it, your husband goes, okay, so good night.
No, you've gotten pretty close. The good news is I just do fall asleep. I'm pretty tired because I am having pretty intense political stress dreams. So I'll pass out easy. The eyes go down and I'll try to take this thing down with a big old Xanax. Just a good old chemical you know, mallet to the face, you know, just gunk out. But the dreams, the spiky dreams, the bit of the anxiety, the points push through the cotton of the Xanax, and poke through into the open air, and then I'm awake. And then I'm awake, and it's night. And it's night. And then you know what else happens?
What happens?
The fire alarm has a tiny little light. And I would never know that light existed. But for whatever reason, at 4 a.m, it is as bright as the sun.
Right.
As bright as the sun. And it wouldn't bother me any other time. But at 4 a.m, just over in the corner of the bedroom ceiling, the sun turns on. Gone.
It's like an Ingmar Bergman.
Sun goes on. Yeah. Gone. Alone. Dark. Dark, dark thoughts. Sun on. Can't sleep. Can't sleep.
Wow.
Too late for a second pill. Uh-huh. Too early to get up. Is that a dog snoring? You bet it is. Is that why I'm awake? No. Now to the third question of our quiz.
This is a hoot.
I'm glad you're both here. It's a weird night. Colton. Michaela appeared in the Law & Order SVU episode Ballerina as Birdie Sulloway, a former dancer suspected of pushing her husband out of a window.
True.
That is false.
Oh, no.
That was Carol Burnett. Michaela appeared as in Law & Order, classic, as Judge Madeline Bennett.
Sure. Oh,
really?
Who refused to testify against her husband's killer in order to hide her opiate addiction.
Right. Oh. Well, but it gets even better. Because it was, you know how they try to stay topical? It was like the Nancy Pelosi, like a student who was protesting Israel, Palestine. He was pro-Palestine, anti-Israel. She was a pro-Israel judge, and she didn't let him clerk for her. And so he came to have it out with her, and she wasn't home, and he murdered her husband.
Oh, so it's like based off of what happened to Nancy Pelosi and her husband?
And they merged it with Columbia protests.
Wow. And wow. Ripped on the headlines indeed.
Jeez.
The news.
What was the body discovery scene in that? Like, how did they, was it like, it's always like, you know, some guy was like, yeah, man, this ball, I can never get enough air. And whoa, a body. You know, like. somebody jogging. Oh no!
No, it was the foyer. It was a black and white tile parquet and turn of the century. It had a nice molding, and it was him lying there on the ground and just blood spilling from his head.
Oh my goodness!
Wow!
Oh.
Yeah. Bump bump.
Yeah.
Michaela.
Yeah.
Colton recounted the true tale of the Sugar Hill Gang's seminal hip hop song, Rapper's Delight, in an episode of Drunk History featuring Retta.
Hmm. That sounds true.
It is.
Yeah.
Nice.
I love Retta.
Did you actually get wasted during that?
Buddy, I got totally wasted during that.
I did it once. I got so drunk.
I got really drunk. I drank about an entire bottle of Jameson.
Wow.
Yeah. It was bad. And
did you have to go to the hospital?
No, I didn't have to go to
the
hospital. I was still younger then, and I could still drink. But I lost my shoes.
Aww.
So I woke up in my house without my shoes, and I didn't really remember the last. You know, you tell the story. They have you tell the story about 3 or 4 times, and I only remember doing it 2 times. But apparently, I did it 2 more times, and then I was like, "All right, everybody, we're going out." And I like took people across the street to the Coach and Horses and.
Really?
Yep. Don't remember it, though.
Wow.
I remember when I was doing the second telling, I lay down. And most of the second telling, I'm laying down.
Which story did you tell again?
I did John F. Kennedy's doctor who gave him all the pills.
Oh.
Dr. Feelgood.
Dr. Feelgood, yeah.
Dr. Feelgood.
Wow.
I did Dr. Feelgood.
I was Julia Child.
Oh, wow.
And I was also in the one with Laura Dern about the... oh, this is a fun little thing. I was in the one, the insane asylum that where the about the woman who goes into undercover in an insane asylum.
To expose it, yeah.
And then she ends up being committed and she can't get out.
Michaela.
Yeah.
True or false?
What?
Colton's in Superstore.
Well, this is true.
Oh, you got it.
I got it because you're the because one of your producers was gushing. So that was a cheat.
You think?
And also because I love Superstar. Superstore. Can't get enough.
How are the wigs on Superstore, would you say?
Wigs were great. We had great a great team that in the hair and makeup department that would put together some fun wigs. There's an episode, a Halloween episode. We played different characters every Halloween episode, and I was Superman for one of them, and I got to wear a wig, which is nice because I'm bald, so I don't have any hair.
A reveal.
Why did you gasp?
Because in my mind,
I haven't had 12 hair transplants yet.
I don't know. Why. I think three is it's like. 12 is not worse than 3. Once you're past 1, it's more
just
than
like,
1.
How many would I take?
It depends on how bad of an afternoon you want to have. I think we could get you done in 2 really, really uncomfortable days
okay.
or 3 very mediocre days.
It's okay. So not fair.
What?
It's just not fair.
What's not fair?
You guys have 1 biological thing that plagues your like adulting.
You're forgetting about big balls.
I don't know.
Our
what
balls get really big.
They get lower and lower and lower.
They get
so
lower.
You move them out of
it's
the way. When
like,
they're all over the place.
It's not like you're half.
Hold on a second. We're not just gonna blow right past my big balls.
You don't wear. You don't wear a ball bra that you have to like that cuts off circulation around
your
ribs.
You're right.
Because your boobs, your empty pockets are falling off your body. You don't have sweats. Talk about waking up in the middle of the night and looking at a red light. You don't have to deal with any of this bullshit. You get one thing. One. What? Your hair. Thins okay. on the top of your stupid heads. And guess
Jesus.
What?
Jesus.
Yes,
damn,
what? No,
man.
I'm not done.
All I did was take
guess
my
what?
Hat off.
Guess what? This is what it is.
What is it?
You guys, then, how quickly did they figure that out? Woo!
We just figured out
how to take care of that one
okay.
thing that
all right.
bums
all
you
right.
out.
All right. I mean. They didn't figure that out that quickly. If you remember, for a while, they were basically butchers. They were taking guys in and they were coming out like Cabbage Patch dolls. They were basically like, what we do is we take 50 hairs, we put them in one circle at the very top, then you comb it around. There's a lot of guys out there that went in early and they are pioneers and we are grateful to them. These people had the right stuff. They were brave.
Right.
What's the name of the pilot from The Right Stuff?
I don't know. Do you want to see
Ed,
my do you want to see my patch?
Sure.
The one that I have to
Harris?
Pay for
Ed
and
Harris.
Change or my body and brain fallout?
What? Your brain fallout patch? Is this what is this?
It's a hormone thing. HRT.
Sometimes we
got
to pee a lot.
So do we. Cuz we have no pelvic floor. Thank you.
No, that's fair. It really is. They've solved boners and male baldness.
Yeah, but I'm incontinent.
Quickly.
Have a great day.
What's the score, by the way? On our scoreboard.
Balls 2.
1-0.
Beautiful.
Mikhail wins.
Yay.
Nice. Congratulations,
by the weight of a feather there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, Hacks is streaming now on HBO Max. And you keep tabs on Colton on Instagram at Capt Dope, like Captain Dope.
Yeah, C-A-P-T-D-O-P-E.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Hiya. Typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise, filled with 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy additives growing kids should never eat. That's why Hiya created a superpower chewable vitamin. Hiya is made with zero sugar and zero gummy additives, yet it tastes great and is perfect for picky eaters. Formulated with the help of pediatricians and nutrition experts, Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals. Every single batch is third-party tested, so you know the product is safe and nutritious. Hiya is designed for kids 2 and up and sent straight to your door so parents have one less thing to worry about. John, you give Hiya to your children, at least one of them, the one that can chew.
They can both chew now.
Oh, they can both chew. Yeah, I know that. I don't know when they start chewing.
You can't
chewing.
Take them out of their hands now.
Oh, wow.
They're just gobbling them down.
Nice.
Yeah.
And if you're tired of battling with your kids to eat their greens, Hiya Now has Kids Daily Greens Plus Superfoods, a chocolate-flavored greens powder designed specifically for kids, packed with 55-plus whole food ingredients to support brain power development and digestion. Just scoop, shake, and sip with milk or any non-dairy beverage for a delicious and nutritious boost your kids will actually enjoy. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to HiyaHealth.com/loveit. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to HiyaHealth.com/LOVETT and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
And we're back!
Yeah.
Before we get to the wheel, Love It or Leave It's New York show is sold out.
But no here, way.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great.
But here in Los Angeles, you can come see us live next Thursday right here at Dynasty Typewriter. September 25th, we'll be joined by Paul Scheer.
Ooh.
Woo.
Congressman Eric Swalwell.
Wow.
Woo.
And more. All right. Actor, director, generational smoke show, Robert Redford, passed away on Tuesday. I love Robert Redford.
Mm. Great guy.
Love.
Popcorn was great.
Love.
Did he make popcorn?
Or maybe I'm thinking of Paul Newman.
You're thinking of Paul Newman. But I was doing the math on that one, and I was like, wow, that must have been friction in their friendship.
Right, yeah, be like, oh, now Butch is doing it?
Yeah.
Miguel, you like Robert Redford?
Loved. I mean, what's not to love? I went to Sundance a lot. I had a lot of movies there, luckily, fortunately. Like,
did you meet him?
Yeah. I went to the director's lab as an actor. that sounds like I was lost. They invite, oh, no actors, huh? Cool. And I handed out my headshot. No. I was invited, they invite actors in to like work with first-time directors, and then they have mentors. But then he invites you into this private little screening room while you're there, and he did a screening of All the President's Men on the original reels.
Wow.
And then talked about it afterwards. And God, he's a beautiful, 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 beautiful man.
I was thinking, the reason I wanted to do this is in part because I was like, oh my God, I sorted Robert Redford into like medium old in my mind. Not like, oh wow, he was old. You know, he's an old guy. He's been around for a long time. Probably just so handsome, even as an older guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight, we wanted to give living legends their flowers, so we're going to spin the wheel and praise a nonagenarian who's still with us. Because why not? Why wait?
Sure.
Why wait to have the feelings when they're gone?
Okay.
All right. So, Mikhail, you go up first. We have a wheel. Let's see who's on the wheel.
Wheel. Oh, I missed this wheel sound. Oh.
It landed on Shirley MacLaine, age 91.
Wow. Oh, Cheryl. You know what? Right before the pandemic was starting, I was about to go shoot a movie with her in Amsterdam, play her daughter. It was like a Holocaust-y kind of movie. And it never...
But funny.
But hilarious. Like Little Miss Sunshine meets the Holocaust.
And there's something funny about the phrase Holocaust-y, which makes me also think, like, was it too much money? Like, this is Holocaust-y, you know?
It was about... It was about a woman who is very hesitant to go back to Holland, and her daughter really wants to go see where, you know, where her family was from originally, and she's very testy and pissy through the whole thing, and you find out like about her dark past. But anyway, I just think that she, terms of endearment, all of the things she's made, that she has just, she's a legend. Cheryl, like, you're beautiful. I hope you come back in another form, because she's ballsy and she was never just what's his face's brother, Warren's. She was her own whole damn thing.
Yeah. Love Shirley MacLaine. Love Terms of Endearment. I mean, like that sequel.
Yeah.
The Rivers of the Summer. Nope.
What about that one with Jack Black? Where, remember that? Anybody?
School of Rock?
Guarding Tess. That was with Nicolas Cage.
Minecraft movie?
And then she's all into astrology. She's fun.
All right, let's spin it again, this time for Colton.
Oh, boy.
It's landing on Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, 99. love his popcorn.
That's a euphemism.
I love Dick Van Dyke. I mean, look, I grew up Mary Poppins, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. So I loved him when I was a kid. And then I remember Nickelodeon used to play all the old stuff. So you had like the Dick Van Dyke Show, stuff like that. Always super funny. Always seemed really nice. You know, I feel like there's a lot of people who you look back over their career, especially, you know, some comedians, and there's a lot of troubling things, you know, where you're like, oh boy, I can't believe they did that. You know, and then maybe even just some like straight up controversies. It feels like he was relatively controversy free. The characters and the bits that he did, like, you could still play him. You know, I could still play, you know, I show my kid Mary Poppins. You know, I just like that, you know, that, you know, and here's the thing. I know he was a recovering alcoholic. I'm sure there's probably some fucked up Hollywood stories of Dick Van Dyke, but the people have died and they haven't told us those stories. So we don't know them.
They're probably cute.
Yeah. And so he just, you know, I think give that guy his flowers, man. He always made everybody laugh, and
so
he's just
happy. Such a good guy.
A funny tall guy. Everybody loves the funny tall guy.
Good prat balls.
Yeah.
A guy made Tripping Over an Ottoman an icon.
Oh my goodness.
An iconic trip over an ottoman. A lot of people can fall over an ottoman.
Yeah.
And a lot of people
He
tumbled.
Yeah.
He tumbled.
Yeah. I feel like if he did do anything bad, it was probably charming. Like, yeah. Oh, he fucked a peacock.
Oh, Dick. And a rock the name Dick and like have it work.
Never even connect.
And Dyke.
Yeah.
He's right got there. It all in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a triggering name.
And Van.
I don't even. The creepiest vehicle.
And I don't even connect him to the Dutch.
Yeah.
Those slippery Dutch. Let's spin it one more time. This time for me. Oh, great. It's landed on Mel Brooks. I love Mel Brooks. And you know, I was thinking about Mel Brooks because they're making Spaceballs 2. And I'm excited about that. I got friends that are working on Spaceballs 2. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about the fact that we're going to get a Spaceballs 2 and that Mel Brooks is still around to like be part of it in some way, which is amazing. So old. Vic Van Dyke's so old. They're so old, but they're still kicking. And there are all these old stories about Mel Brooks just kind of tooling around like L.A. delis. And if you went up to Mel Brooks and said that you love The Producers, he would say, "Of course you do. It's one of the greatest comedies of all time." And I love that. I love that vibe. I love the happiness. Like, there are a lot of really funny Jewish comedians, and then there's a lot of really positive comedians.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's a really funny, positive Jewish comedian. Wow. That's a triple threat. That's a triple threat. Joyous.
It's true.
Joyous. And like, those movies are so joyful. They're so fun.
I know.
And so many, we like drain so much of the fun out of like comedy a lot of the times, and like just like Hollywood in general, and everything's like so serious. And
even the scary movie High Anxiety, 100%. Like even that was like scary funny.
Yeah.
Scary charming.
So charming. Oh, Mel Brooks.
So I did a game show with him once.
You did?
Yeah. To Tell the Truth.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
And he was so darling. And with Cloris Leachman.
Oh.
And then she rubbed her vagina on my arm. She was known to be doing that. And it was very funny.
Sure, it's funny when she does it, but then Louis C.K. can't go anywhere.
Yeah. Wow, double standard. Here
so
we go.
So think about that. And I'll just close by saying, when I saw that Robert Redford died, I had this realization that, like, there are some actors, some classic actors, that when they die, you think of their performances. And he's an amazing actor, but that's actually not what I think of when I think of him. I think of the movies themselves, and I think of All the President's Men, and I think of The Candidate. I think of 3 Days of the Condor and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and how amazing these movies are and how much they hold up. How many people here haven't seen 3 Days of the Condor? Give yourselves a treat in honor of Robert Redford.
Did you say Out of Africa?
I've never seen Out of Africa.
Oh, that's another good one.
It's
another good movie.
I'll watch it.
He's so hot and it's disturbing.
Yeah, that's
nobody should be allowed.
That was my take, too. It was like, the guy's a smoke show in there, man.
I mean,
just fires it up.
Ridiculous.
Real boner material.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the lesson, too. It's just like, you got these stars.
Yeah.
The boner material they leave behind.
And what about that movie he did where it's just him on a boat and then he gets lost at sea? Does anybody know what that is?
Help.
Overboard?
And he was like over 80 years old, and every morning before they would even start shooting on a freezing cold boat in the ocean,
that's
he would
right.
go to the hotel pool and like swim like 5 miles. And
I remember then those guys were always talking about how they were worried that they were going to kill him.
Yeah.
Because he was so old when he did it. What was it called?
All is lost.
And here we are all these years later, and he died bungee jumping.
Yeah. Yeah, from a helicopter.
Also, sneakers.
Sneakers
is so good. All right. I love Robert Redford.
Oh,
R.I.P. to a legend. That's our show. Thank you so much to Michaela Watkins and Colton Dunn. We will see you next week at Dynasty Typewriter. There are 409 days until the midterms. Hope we have them. Have a great night and have a great weekend. If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Subha Agarwal are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Shersher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.